You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last Sunday we taught on the gospel is supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. We hear a lot about the supernatural today. It seems to be a rise in popularity in the supernatural, and people are seeking out the supernatural. But the problem is they generally are seeking it out in the wrong areas. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. I believe in healings. I believe in voices. I do. I believe in the voice of God. I believe in the voice of the Holy Ghost. I believe in leadings, unctions, pullings, tugs, you know, what people would call intuition and so on. No, I believe that, but I believe it's from the Lord. I believe the Lord directs us. I believe the Lord witnesses to us. I believe the Lord speaks to us. I believe in telling the future. I believe sometimes God shows us the future. Hello. But I believe that's God's job. That's not the palm reader's job. That's not the fortune teller's job. That's not the Ouija board's job. That's not the horoscope's job. God set the stars in the sky not to direct your future, but to testify of His glory. Are you with me? Stars are not to direct your life by. They're just to testify of the glory of God. All creation testifies of His glory. Direction comes from Him, from His Word, and from His Holy Spirit. But see, I think what has happened, many times the church has been so powerless, the church has been so toned down, as it were, innocuous, to use a big word, powerless, to help people with the supernatural, that when they had problems in the natural and they needed a miracle, many times the church hasn't stepped up to the plate and say, you know, I believe in a miracle-working God, I believe in healing, I believe in deliverance. We haven't done our part, so they've sought out other avenues of help. The world has. And God forbid the church would be that way. The church was birthed in power, is birthed and born in the supernatural. Jesus' ministry was supernatural. The disciples had a supernatural ministry. The church itself started out with the supernatural. It should not have toned down. Are you with me? It should not be second place on the back shelf. Churches should be supernatural. In other words, it should be a place where you can come and you can get some help, where you can hear the voice of God, where you can be nudged and pulled and tugged and moved to holy living. I mean, listen, when you go to church, you ought to be moved to serve God. There ought to be an anointing, a presence, a power in you that pushes you, not to just enjoy yourself. We do enjoy the service. I love coming to church. But also, I'm moved to serve Him more, too. The Holy Spirit's on me to serve Him. Things in my life I need to correct or get better at or push in further or press in further. I want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I want that supernatural presence, pull, tug, as it were. And I tell you what, if I need a miracle, I want to be able to get a miracle too. And that's not just, I want that. That is scriptural. It's biblical. This is ultimately the final word on the matter. We can all give testimonies. We can all talk about how God has done this or that. And those are powerful things. I'll share some things probably today in my life and use me as a witness, because I know more about me than anybody in here. Hello. And I'm a greater authority on me than anybody in here. And I think the greatest witness in the court of law is an eyewitness. Are you with me? Someone that had something happen or saw it themselves. And so I can tell you all about what God's done to me. Now, if you were up here, you could talk about you. But, well, I am the pastor and you're not. But having said that, my experiences need to be lined up with God's Word. It's kind of a twofold thing. I believe that preaching should have testimonies in it. Truth and doctrine and teaching should have corresponding action or testimonies or witnesses to back it up, because it's true. And since healing is true, there should be people healed. Amen. That makes sense. Since deliverance is true, there should be people delivered. Since Jesus does save and pull people out of, you know, wild lifestyles and so on and so, and sin and degradation, there should be people standing up that have had that happen to them. Now, just them having had something happen to them doesn't make it right. Because you can't experience what everybody else experienced, and you can't live off everybody else's experience. But we can all go back to the same promise they stood on, the same God they called on, the same Word they believed, and we can get help for ourselves. Yes. And if it did happen to them, it can happen to us if we'll trust God and get back to His Word. So, you know, you put the two together, amen. Jesus was, He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe what I'm doing, amen. Believe my works. And Luke, when he wrote, he wrote about Jesus, and he said this is the beginning of what Jesus both began to say and do. Everybody say, say and do.
Say and do.
Might throw this out. We've got election coming up. And I was talking, Frank and I were just talking about this. And you know, we're not supposed to just pray. We're supposed to vote. You say, well, I'm just praying. Well, no, you've got to do something too. You know, faith has corresponding action. So get out there and vote. And if you hadn't voted, shame on you. You're a Christian. You're supposed to vote. Hello? You say, you're going to tell me who to vote for? Vote for whoever's closest to the Bible. Amen? Just go down the list, and it's real simple, and just find the one that's closest to the Bible, look at the issues, but by all means, don't just get on your knees and pray. In fact, really, it doesn't do any good to pray if you don't vote. Oh, boy. Now, think about it. That's like praying God to prosper and you won't go to work. I'm just staying home. I'm living by faith. Get out and get you a job. Let God bless you in that job. Let God bless the work of your hand. Amen. You know, do what you can do and then pray. Be consistent. Amen. In other words, live the same way you talk. If you're going to believe God, get out there. You know, we're believing God for the building out here. We're believing God for Hallelujah Now. We're believing God for all kinds of things. You know what? We're also building a building. We're also, I didn't mean to get on that point. We're also signing up back there on Moose. And, okay, we're doing something. We're not just believing, we're doing and believing. Like those two people in that rowboat, you know, one of them had some oars and one of them said, boy, we need to pray. And the guy had oars says, I'm on a row, you pray. Y'all didn't get that one, but anyway. Row and pray, amen. So we talked about the gospel being supernatural. Get back on that. And went through how Jesus' ministry was supernatural. The disciples were a supernatural ministry. The church was a supernatural ministry. Wednesday night, we taught on we are for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. Out of Isaiah the 8th chapter, where the Bible tells us that was the main verse we started with and ended up with Mark the 16th chapter. But actually, signs and wonders have always been a part of what God's doing. Now, healings and miracles and salvation, healings and miracles don't save you. I understand that. And when we're talking about the supernatural and we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit, that does not save you. You're saved by believing on Jesus Christ. You're saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people, a lot of churches today, good churches, good people that we love, that are part of the family of God, that do not necessarily believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Hello. We're not saying they're not saved. Of course they're saved if they believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. But I do believe they're missing out on the power of God. I do believe they're missing out on a very vital part of the gospel. And there's going to come a day in your life, you're going to need the supernatural. I'm going to need the supernatural. We're going to need a miracle. We're going to need a God that heals. And we need to get on with the supernatural. We need to preach it, teach it. We need to stand on it. We are a supernatural church. We do believe in the supernatural power of God. Amen? Jesus, when in Mark the 16th chapter, when he that great commission, he said, go in all the world, preach the gospel of every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He goes on and says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Everyone say signs. And he lists several things. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Didn't say they talked to him. Just said they cast them out. I mean, you get in deliverance ministry, sometimes you see some abuses. But the Bible just says you'll cast them out. It says they'll speak with new tongues. That doesn't mean you'll just quit cussing. Although you need to, the old cusser you ought to quit cussing. You're a Christian. But when he says speak with new tongues, that's the gift of tongues. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence by speaking in other tongues. And then he goes on and says, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Of course, that was protection, a miracle of deliverance if you needed it. And he says this. He says, take up serpents. That's the power of the devil. And he says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Tremendous teaching there. So we're for signs and wonders, he says over in the 8th chapter of Isaiah. And Jesus starts the church by ascending up to heaven telling us that we are to have signs follow us. Amen? And so the church should be filled with the supernatural. It should be filled with the power of God. Woo, hallelujah. Everybody say the power. I think sometimes our battery's a little low. You know, we love God. We are Christians. We're believers. I know in my own life, I accepted Jesus as a Lord and Savior, joined a church, a great church, but a church that nonetheless did not really believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the supernatural. And I was a witness, and I knocked on doors and shared my faith and read my Bible. And But, you know, there just was something missing. I knew I was going to heaven, but I'd read across scriptures like Mark 16. Turn there, if you will. I'd read across these scriptures, and I just really couldn't understand them. I couldn't make sense out of them. They were so plain and so up front, and yet I didn't see any of that happening where I was. God bless the church I was in. God bless those people that love Jesus. But nonetheless, the Bible had something else to say. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. We want to be as scriptural as we can. You say, well, you know, I know people that do that and they're just so weird. You know what? I know people that don't do it that are weird too. Well, I've been in some of those churches, you know, where they speak in tongues and they're just wild. They're just, oh man, they're just so, and they're strange people. Well, you ought to come to one of my homecomings sometime. I ought to go to one of yours sometime. Now, come on. There's strange people everywhere. That doesn't mean the doctrine's wrong. I believe you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and be goofy as all get out. I believe you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and be just as sane as the next person. Are you with me? And even more saner. Hello. So let's don't judge it by that. Let's judge it by this. Let's judge it by the Bible. Amen. So it says here, Jesus says this. This is so neat. Mark 16 chapter. He said, and we read this Wednesday night. In fact, Wednesday night it was awesome. Had an awesome service. Had a tongue interpretation at the end. The gift of tongues with interpretation of tongues, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. And it was just a confirmation of what God was saying. Many times gifts come to confirm what God has already said. In fact, gifts don't come really necessarily to direct your life or to tell you something new. Generally, they come to confirm what's going on inside of you. I believe in personal prophecy. I believe God can speak to someone about someone else. I believe God can speak to us as a church through an interpretation or through a prophecy and say something. And sometimes it can be very specific. Sometimes it can be general. Sometimes it can be specific about the future. But see, we don't step out on those. Either we already have that in our heart and that's a confirmation, or we put that on the shelf and wait till God confirms it in our heart. If someone prophesies you to go to India and you don't really know about that, I would suggest you take them with you so you'll know when to come back. Hello? However, if God's dealing with you about that, and you've been praying, and it keeps coming up, and someone comes along and says that by the Spirit, doesn't know anything about you, sound like to me, that's a confirmation. Are you with me? Of what God wants you to do. So there's a balance in the gifts. I mean, the gifts are real. We're going to teach on the gifts over the next few weeks. Today, I want to center in on something else, but there needs to be teaching on these things because there's such confusion in charismatic Pentecostal type movements. These are real. God is in the supernatural business. Are you with me? And we need to move in the supernatural. We need to have the supernatural. But we need to keep it scriptural. Keep it biblical. You know, when the Bible talks about letting things be done decently in order, you know, that's the gifts he's talking about. That's 1 Corinthians 14. We often quote that about churches having order, but really, he's talking about having order in the gifts. I hear churches say, well, we don't have all that stuff. We've got order in our church. Well, that was the whole point of the scripture, was so you'd have order over the gifts. And my question would always be, well, what order do the gifts operate in your church? Oh, no, we don't have the gifts. We have order. Over what? That's like you have an order over a bunch of people you don't have. We got order. Yeah, but you don't have anybody to give orders to. Okay, you have to think about that one. Mark 16, found it. He says this. He says, he that believes baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them who believe. 17th verse. These signs shall follow those who believe. Do you believe? Okay. I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. How about you? You know, I remember one time I was talking about healing miracles, and I was working in a produce company in Trinity Produce, which is no more, but Trinity Produce in Dallas, downtown Dallas, is a wholesale produce company. And so I was in the office on the phone and dealt with a lot of shippers and brokers, and we would load trucks all over, you know, and boxcar loads of trains, you know, potatoes out of Idaho or onions or something, or apples from Canada. And so you deal with a lot of brokers. Brokers tend to be a little high pressure, to say the least. sometimes a little arrogant. And if they're not saved, they're really obnoxious. And there's a lot of them that are not saved. But it's no different in any profession. There's a lot of people not saved in a lot of professions. But they many times would come over to the office, you know, because they're always pressuring you to buy from them and to load their trucks and so on and so forth. And I was talking about healing to one, because, you know, hey, I'm a preacher. That's what I do. I was talking about healing to a couple of them. I had them in my office. I had to listen. And it's really kind of neat, too, because, you know, they're trying to get us to buy, and I'm the one they got to buy from, so they're going to listen. They got to be nice. They're not going to cut you off and be terribly rude, because they'll lose their sale. But anyway, so I was talking to them about healing. One of them is kind of a nominal Christian. Really wasn't in church that much, but went every once in a while. The other one was just a heathen, as we say in East Texas. And so they were making fun of some minister that believed in healing. I said, well, guys, now wait a minute. The Bible talks about healing. Yeah, the Bible talks about healing being for today. And, oh, really? Yeah, oh, yeah. In fact, if you believe in Jesus, the Bible says that you lay hands on the sick, you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't mean you will, but you should be. You should be praying for people to be healed if you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus. And one of the guys that goes to church says, oh, I didn't say that. You've got to be kidding me. Where does it say that? I said, right here. So I opened my Bible up and I handed it to him and I said, now read that. And I had him read it out loud. You know, I love to have nominal Christians and lost people read the Bible. I think it's good. Opens your eyes to a lot of things. So he read that scripture, and he read it out loud. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they sh-. And he went like this. He says, what kind of Bible is this? I'm not kidding. I am telling you the truth. He said, what kind of Bible is that? He almost got scared like it was going to burn him or something, you know. And I said, well, that's just the King James Version Bible. I mean, any Bible will work. I mean, you could do your national. Anyone you want to pick up says that. He said, what? I never saw that. I said, I don't believe you did. You probably never have seen that. But there's a lot in here we don't really know about because we don't read it. Let me tell you another sad truth. There's a lot in here that we never hear about even in church because we never preach it. We kind of skip over parts. Well, I want to hit some of the parts that sometimes are skipped over today. Are you with me? Here it says, they'll cast out devils. It says they will speak with new tongues. Everybody say, speak with new tongues.
Speak with new tongues.
I want to talk about tongues. I want to talk about glossolalia, that neo-Pentecostal modern-day phenomena. Tungus, it's not a fungus. I want to talk about tongues. What the Bible says about tongues. Turn with me to Acts 1st chapter. And you just judge for yourself and see what the Bible does say. You know, as I said earlier, I joined a church that loved God and they were Christians. And when I talk about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and the Scripture addresses that, we're not saying we're A-rate and other people are B-rate. We're not saying that people are going to hell that don't speak in tongues. Are you kidding? Goodness gracious, you go to heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You're just missing out on a lot if you don't get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Missing out on the power of God. Missing out on the prayer language. Missing out on the worship that... the dimension that you enter into. Dick and I were just talking about yesterday, talking about how there's just a, seem like there's a passion, there's a power to serve God even more when you're full of the Holy Ghost. You know, kind of a protection from sin or a more awareness of sin that, you know, you don't give in so quick to temptation if you're praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. And I mean, there's so many benefits from praying in other tongues that it would take us months to just list them. What it has meant to me, I could not tell you what it's meant to me. As far as ministry is concerned, as far as pastoring is concerned, as far as teaching is concerned, as far as boldness and revelation from God's Word, what I owe to pray in tongues would be like cutting off my right arm. I'm telling you, I don't know how I could express to you what it's meant to me. I pray in tongues all the time. And it's not something I do during the service all the time. We're worshiping, I will, but when I'm talking to you, I talk in English so you can understand me. That's what Paul said. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words of my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also. Now just think about what he said. There was a place for it. Amen. Unless there was an interpretation in a service, then my praying in tongues really is private. It is something I do between me and the Lord. And Paul, bear in mind, was a tongue talker. He spoke more in tongues than that wild, crazy church at Corinth. And I mean, they spoke in tongues a lot in Corinth. That was something he had to really address in that 12th, 13th, 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And yet he said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. I like that. Sound like he's from East Texas. More than y'all. I think he said you all. But in the church, there was a place and a time. So tongues was real. Paul was a tongue talker. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were tongue talkers. The Blessed Virgin Mary was a tongue talker. The early church were all tongue talkers. It was birthed in power. The day of Pentecost, 120 of them strong. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Acts 8, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Woo! I wouldn't say they were weirdos. Hello. They started the very foundation of what has changed this world and what you and I are benefiting from today. And they started with the power of God. Many of them were fishermen. Many of them were all different occupations, tax collectors and so on and so on. And yet, they got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, they had a fire in their heart and a fire in their mouth. And they changed the world. Amen. We can change our world. Amen. I believe that. I believe we can go to another level. I believe it takes us to another dimension, this baptism with the Holy Spirit, this they shall speak with new tongues that Jesus talked about. Acts the first chapter. Y'all found it? And Acts the first chapter, and I love this, Brother Osteen used to say, and I refer to him a lot. Brother Osteen passed away in 1999, January 1999, and went to heaven. He never died. He just left this earth and went to another place. But he was my pastor, our pastor, for all those years. In fact, we attended Lakewood in those days for about 7 years. And Brother Osteen, you always know when Brother Osteen was between series. He always taught series. He'd teach series for weeks and weeks, you know, thinking the thoughts of God. You know, he'd teach a series on that, or prayer, he'd teach on that for weeks and weeks. But in between series, he'd always teach on the Holy Ghost. I mean, you'd always know when he taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he was in between series. It was like a fallback. He'd always fall back on that. He loved teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it changed his life. He was a Southern Baptist. God bless Baptists. We're not up against, thank God for Baptist Church. But he was a Southern Baptist. And you know, his daughter was born, Lisa, who now is a vital part of their ministry, who's... Well, she's probably around 50 years old. Boy, she's going to get mad at me if she hears this, and I told her age. But anyway, she was born with cerebral palsy and couldn't lift her head. At 4 or 5 months, couldn't even lift her head. They needed a miracle. And Brother Osteen hit the floor praying. Well, long story short, during the interim period, this is around 1958, he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it changed his whole ministry, changed his whole life. They laid hands, of course, on Lisa. In the meantime, she was healed. She's living a perfectly normal life today, blessed, healed by the power of God. And Lakewood, of course, went a totally different direction. We started going to Lakewood in 1975. At that time, I left the church that I was in and started attending Lakewood Church because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because of the power of God, because of healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. I love God, as I said. I witness to people every day. I mean, I read my Bible every day. But there was just something missing. And this was it. Mark 16 was the scripture that puzzled me. It was something that perplexed me when I would read it. And I'd turn pages and see tongues like this in Acts, the first chapter. And I didn't see that in our church. They weren't bad people. They were good people. But they didn't move in that area. And they would say things like, it's passed away. Yet the Bible never said that. Hello. We turn right around and say, God still saves, but he doesn't do that. And I think, well, how do we know he still saves? How can we say this has passed away and yet we say he still saves? Let me tell you something. If God's still saved, he still heals. Are you with me? If anything in the Bible is still true, it's all true. There never really was a day of miracles. There's just a God of miracles. And he's never changed. He's always been the same. And see, we haven't stopped. God hasn't stopped doing miracles. We've just stopped believing. We've stopped believing for those miracles. I never will forget when I joined that church. I've been saved a couple of weeks and I was dangerous because I actually read the Bible. You'd be amazed. But anyway, I was reading the Bible and I saw this. And I read Brenda. Now, Brenda was a sweet little Baptist girl. I married Brenda. She had a 9-year pen, never missed Sunday school until I married her. That went on about a year and a half. And then finally, I got saved. I was a rascal. I'm telling you, I needed to get saved. I was in drugs and jails. And my daddy was a deputy sheriff. He put me in jail one night. That's how bad I was. True story. I mean, really was. I was kicked out of high school, and the principal called the police and put a peace bond on me where I couldn't drive on a parking lot because I was such a model student. But that was before I accepted Jesus. That's who I was before Christ. This is who I am now. New creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, God gloriously saved me, of course. I called on Him. He saved me. I accept Him as Lord and Savior. We started going to church. I went to this church, went a couple of weeks. I went and talked to the pastor at the end of the service like you're supposed to do, you know. Sat down with him and told him I felt like I needed to join the church and need to get in a church. Everybody ought to be in a church. Everybody ought to be in a local church. And I said, I believe I need to be baptized, water baptized. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I accepted Jesus, and I believe I ought to be water baptized. He said, well, I believe you ought to be too. And I said, good. And I said, now I want to ask you a question. And I turned over to Mark 16 chapter. I'm serious. Am I telling the truth? Here I was, this great theologian at 19 years old. And yet, let me tell you something. I had a scripture. I had the word on this. I didn't understand it, but I knew it was there. And I quoted it to him. I read it to him as if he couldn't read and didn't know where it was. He was a minister of this church. And he was a great guy. He loved God. I said, you know, the Bible says right here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I believe I need to be baptized. I believe in Jesus. I was very strong in my faith. I said, 2 weeks, I knew I was saved. I knew I was saved. I've been delivered and set free. I said, I believe I need to be water baptized. I said, but I'm a little, I don't really understand this. I said, it says right here, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll speak with new, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. You know, if you're drinking deadly things, shall not hurt them. They'll take up serpents. If they lay hands on sick, they shall lay hands on sick, they shall recover. I said, I believe that. Brenda was just shaking. Because she'd been raised in that church, that type of church, and knew they didn't believe that. And they were good people. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, you know what? My question is real simple. I said, I believe that. And I believe I need to get baptized in water. And I guess my question is this, can I be baptized in this church if you don't believe that? Or do I need to go find a church that does believe that to be water baptized? I mean, I just didn't know. He said, well, it really doesn't matter. He says, you're going to be water baptized. I mean, and he was right. It didn't really matter. I was being water baptized by someone who knew Jesus, and it was perfectly all right. I didn't know he was on a campaign against all those things. Because when you join that church, you got a packet, and in the packet were three tracts. One was why I do not speak in tongues. One was gifts of the Spirit and why they have passed away. And the third one was so now you're born again. Seriously. That was the church I joined. I didn't know any better. You know, goodness, I didn't know where. I came out of a heathen background. I didn't know what church to go to. So I started going there and reading about this stuff and thinking, man, that's got to be real. What is this? What is this? What? It's there. And hey, you know what? You can't deny it's there, can you? I mean, come on, what do you do with it? You got to do something with it. It's there. You can relegate the past if you want to, say, well, I don't believe that, but then you got a problem. If you don't believe that, then how do you find it, figure out what you do believe? I remember telling him that night, I said, you know what? I said, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I know if I'm going to believe that God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, you know, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. I know if I'm going to believe in Jesus to be saved, if I'm going to believe part of this thing, I'm going to believe all of it. I told him that at 19 years age. It was really the foundation of the rest of my life. I'm so glad I had that foundation. And I just came out of a lost background, but it stuck with me. It clicked in me that if I was going to throw myself into this, I might as well believe the whole thing. And what right did I have to believe part, not all? And so in a matter of 6 months, we wound up over at Lakewood Church and hearing a guy named Kenneth Hagin. Never heard of him, you know, at that time. I mean, somebody had mentioned to him, says, you got to hear, come hear this guy at this place called Lakewood Church. Never heard of Lakewood Church. Never heard of Kenneth Hagin. So we went over there with a friend of ours, Kathy Bounds, took us over there, and she was already baptized with the Holy Ghost. I noticed she would pray and just pray and pray and pray, and I'd think, my God, how long can you pray? I mean, I'd go to prayer meetings. I love God. I was a Christian, but you know, enough's enough. I mean, after I bless the food and the family, I'm ready to go home. You know, I mean, I love God. But she was full of the Holy Ghost, and man, you couldn't stop her. She just loved to pray. She was passionate. It took her to another dimension. I still wasn't there yet, you know. And so we went with her over there, and Kenneth Hagin got up there and preached a great message, you know, and he gave an invitation for salvation. Several people went up. I thought, oh, that's great, wonderful, I'm saved. Then he gave an invitation for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, now if you're here and you're born again, you know Jesus is Lord and Savior, you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you died right now, you know you go to heaven. You are a candidate for this experience. I'm thinking, what experience? He said, if you're saved, going to heaven, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet you do not speak with other tongues. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. Every Christian, every believer, everyone washed in the blood is a candidate for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And he just gave the invitation. And I don't know what happened, but I was standing up. I thought, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been reading. I never heard anybody talk about it. I never heard anybody teach it. They didn't teach in the church I was in. And he was talking about it. He was quoting those verses. But that's it. That's what I need. And I looked over, and Brenda was standing beside me. And we had a couple came with us, and they were standing up over there. I thought, whoa, mass hysteria set in. And he gave the invitation, and boy, I went down there. I thought, I want this. This is what I want. This is it. This is what he's been talking about. Filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues. Went down, and somebody laid, a guy named Phil Dow, you know Phil. Phil and Maureen, remember Phil and Maureen? Yeah. Phil Dow laid hands on me, and I mean, I started talking strange. Started talking in another language. You know, I was saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you for baptizing me with the Holy Ghost. You know, I was, and then he'd say, now just stop talking English and just go off in other tongues. And boy, I mean, I was, something just started coming out. And wow, you know, what's that? That's tongues. Did you understand it? No, it says no man understands it. Hello. And I mean, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it changed my life. Just a matter of weeks, we were going to that church then at Lakewood Church. That was November 1975 is when that was. And it took us on a journey and in a direction that we hadn't deviated from. We stayed with it the whole time. This church was birthed that way in that kind of power. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, healing. That's what probably separates us from a lot of churches. Not the gospel, not Jesus. We all believe in Jesus. There's some great churches that believe in Jesus that will lead you to the Lord and get to heaven, and that's the greatest thing that could ever happen. But you know, power for a living, power for a witness, power today, supernatural, that comes from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Y'all found Acts 1? Okay. This helping you? You know, Brenda didn't get it about 3 days later. Nothing really happened when they prayed for her. Some people are hard-headed than others. I don't know. But anyway, she was in the bedroom praying. We had two bedrooms in this apartment. Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff, Pasadena. And she was in there praying. I got a little scared because she was praying, and all of a sudden she got real loud and talking funny. And I mean, the Holy Ghost had really just come on her at that point. And at that point, of course, 3 days later, we were both baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it was Katie Bar the door. Man, hallelujah. Acts 1, y'all found it? Let me read just a little bit, and we'll close this out. My prayer is that this helps you. I encourage you to study the Scriptures. There's a real problem here if you want to avoid it or deny it. You really have to get a black magic marker or some scissors and cut out a lot of Scriptures in the Bible. There's just a ton of them you have to cut out. You have to cut out several chapters in 1 Corinthians, several chapters in the book of Acts, that where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And get this, and I'll say this in passing, we're going to teach on the gifts. But being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues is not the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is divided severally as the Spirit wills. It comes on one or it comes on another, and it's accompanied with interpretation of tongues. When you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, everybody speaks in tongues. It's kind of like a prayer language, as it were. I like to say it that way. Or a dimension of worship. But in Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with other tongues. It didn't say one gave a word, one gave a prophecy, one had a vision, one did a miracle, one did a healing. No, they weren't gifts. The gift in Acts 2 was the Holy Ghost. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. The evidence was the speaking in other tongues. In Acts 10, the Bible tells us they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? They all spoke in tongues there too. It didn't say one had a word, one had a miracle, one had this, one had that, and one had a tongue. No, it says they all spoke with other tongues. So that couldn't be the gift of tongues, because the gift of tongues is divided to every man severally as the Spirit wills. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 tells us that. And we'll teach on that later. So some people get confused in Pentecost or in charismatic movements, and they'll say, well, I believe in tongues, I just don't believe it's my gift. Well, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues, not the gift of tongues, which has an interpretation. You need to make that distinction because there is a difference between the two. Are you with me? And the only reason I say that is just the logic of the Scripture. Does that make sense? Because if they all spoke in tongues in Acts 10, and they did, and we'll get to that in this teaching, not today, because I'll let you out here a little bit. If they all spoke in tongues in Acts 19, and they did, all of them, and they all spoke in tongues in Acts 2, and they did, all of them, then that couldn't be the gift, because the gift was just divided severally as God wills. One had a tongue, one had interpretation. Make sense? So, if you're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. And don't hold off and say, well, you know, that's just not my gift. No, it's for everybody. Speaking in other tongues, as far as being baptized in the Holy Ghost, is for everybody. The gift of tongues in a service with interpretation is not. Make sense? Okay. Let's close this out. Hallelujah. This help you? You know, I know we got visitors, and you may think we're crazy. That's okay. A lot of people think we're crazy. That's okay. It's okay. We still love you. Notice what it says here, the fourth verse, first chapter. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, he didn't say wait for eternal life. He didn't say wait to be born again. He said wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. I really believe that. You know how it takes to be saved? You can go through the Scriptures. John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing in Jesus causes you to be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen? 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You believe Jesus is the Christ? All right, you're born of God. So all those Scriptures talk about being saved, and they don't say anything about tongues. They talk about believing in Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't telling them to wait in Jerusalem to be saved. Did they believe Jesus had risen from the dead? Well, they'd have to be knuckleheads not to, because he was standing right there talking to them. I believe they're washed in the blood. No, I believe they're already saved at this point. Are you with me? So why did they have to wait in Jerusalem for? Because he wanted them to have the power that he had. To be the witness that he was. To do the things that he did. He didn't want them to wait in Jerusalem to be saved. He'd already did what they needed to do. He already did what needed to be done for them to be saved. Right? And they believed that. But he didn't want them walking out without the power, because if they did that, then they wouldn't be able to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and do the things he did. And you know what? They'd miss out on a big witness, because God is a living, vibrant, supernatural, right now God. Very present help. We need his power in our witness. Woo! Okay. So he said this. I am coming to close, guys. He said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for truly, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Shandai otolio. We have water baptisms up here where I baptize people in water. Water baptism is a work of man. It's what man does. Baptize the Holy Ghost, that's the work of Jesus. That's what Jesus does. Are you with me? To be saved is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Amen? So to be saved is not to be water baptized. To be saved is not to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. To be saved is to be baptized into the body of Christ. To be in Christ. In Christ all should be made alive. In Adam all die. In Christ, all are made alive. We are all by one Spirit, baptized into one body. So the Spirit takes you, he draws you, and he places you into the body of Christ. That's being saved. We've all had an experience with the Holy Spirit. We couldn't be saved. But we hadn't all been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, but not with the Holy Spirit. He had three buckets of water. Boom, boom, boom. Three people stand behind the buckets. Got the picture? I'm trying to make it simple as I can. One bucket's water. One bucket's the body of Christ. One bucket's the Holy Spirit. Behind the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Behind the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Behind the water is man. Man baptizes in water. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit baptizes us with Jesus. In other words, that's what saves us. He takes us, we're drawn by the Spirit, He places us into the body of Christ, and every born-again believer has had an experience with the Holy Spirit. But now Jesus is behind the Holy Spirit wanting to immerse you into the Holy Ghost. And He said not many days hence, you've heard of me, John truly baptized with water. You'll see that. But you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ooh, hallelujah. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels tell us that. It says, John said it. John the Baptist, first Baptist. Okay? He said this. He said, talking about Jesus, he said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoe latchet. He said, he that comes after me, he was born 6 months after John, is preferred before me, because he was before me. He said, I truly baptize with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John all say the same thing. And where it happened was in Acts 2, and this will be it, we'll close it out. Acts 2, 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, everybody say Pentecost. Pentecost was a feast of the Old Testament. Leviticus 23 lists all the feasts. And it was a feast that followed, you know, the feast of first fruits, the feast of unleavened breads, and it was 50 days, and that's what Pentecost means. Everybody say Pentecost, Pentecost. Means 50. Okay, so if you're Pentecostal, you're 50-ish. Okay. Well, what we relate to is the experience of that 50th day. On that 50th day, the Holy Ghost fell. When the 50th day was fully come, that's what he was saying. When, right in succession with the feast, when the 50th day was fully come, the day of Pentecost, that's where we get the word Pentecost, Pentecostal experience and so on. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's a miracle. They're actually in unity in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I love suddenlies in the Bible. Suddenly your life can change. Suddenly you can be thrust into a new dimension. Suddenly the Holy Ghost can come on you. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were sitting down. Think about it. And God still moved on them. It's not the position of the body, it's the heart. That's right. Amen. Third verse. Then there appeared unto them divided or cloven tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all, everybody say all? All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Woo! They were all filled. There was 120 of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the first account of this taking place, and it's repeated throughout the book of Acts, and to some degree talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But this is something that I believe has been left out in a lot of churches. It shouldn't be. It should be a part of every church. It's nothing weird. It's just the natural course of events for us, God's concern, the supernatural course. It's the way the church was birthed. You want to read Paul? Well, he was a tongue talker. You want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They spoke in tongues. Hello. You want to read Revelation? Of course, you can probably figure that one out. He had to be a tongue talker if you read Revelation. He was a tongue talker. They spoke in other tongues. That wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. And in my life, it's made a difference. And I'll tell you, we could be here till the cows come home, people testifying of a change that's made in their life today.